bucket with a fishing pole. I'm dropping a line through an icy hole. I know you're down there. I know you're down there. I know you're down there.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. And what the heck are we doing talking about ice fishing this time of the year? But anyway, we'll have to take a look at our bumper music. But we have with us on the radio today, of course, we've got the Grizz. And the Grizz and I spent a lot of time together. And Anna Gloria, who we've talked to on the radio before, but I finally got to meet. And Anna, it's too bad it's radio because you should be on television.
Hi. How nice of you. Okay. Thank you, John.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about what we did. Grizz was telling everybody about how I burnt my face because I was stupid and vain. And but we did. I'll tell you what. The yellowtail that Loretta was known for, I'm now a believer.
It was. You had a fantastic time fishing, right?
Oh, well, we went out the first day. Let me just describe real quick because I'm not used to this. I've got yellowtail before, but to me they're in the water column, and you know, I've just never fished for them. But you've got an area down there that you go down, what is it, about 150 feet, Grizz, something like that, to the bottom?
We started out 125 to... And the deepest was 183.
Okay. Well, what we did is I had some, I think it was 80-pound microfiber with probably a 40, 60-pound test line on the mono.
40-pound.
Okay. And what happened, you drop it down, and I had, I think, I'm trying to remember the reel that we had. But anyway, it was locked down tight. And I was putting it down. As soon as it hit the bottom, It just started trying to pull the rod out of my hands and pull me out of the boat. And, you know, the drag was set all the way down, and it was going zzz, 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 zzz. And I go, what in the heck is this? Anyway, a lot of fun. Came up with there's still some controversy as who caught the 50-pounder. I still say it was mine. But those things are strong, and, 50-pound yellowtail is a lot of fish. But anyway, I'll tell you the rest. I'll let Grizz tell the rest of the story.
Well, the fishing was good. Anna Gloria told us it would be awesome. So John and I got down, went there. And, the fishing was great. We caught some really big fish, average 35-pound yellowtail. But the thing that was the best of all of it is we got to stay in my favorite place, the Oasis. We're there, it's like I always say, you go in, you have friends, and when you go out, you almost have a tear come out of your eye because it's like you're going away from home. And we had the best food, best room. Well, I have my own special room. Isn't that right, Anna Gloria?
Yes, you do. You are here. This is your home away from home.
And, I mean, it was just great. All the way around, the fishing was fantastic. And then we got to go to what they call the Rancho Viejo, the old ranch, and went up, and I turned John on to goat milk and cheese, and I bought a whole bunch of it to take home, and John did, and the friends we took and met the wonderful people there, and then we went up to San Javier. Why don't you tell us a little bit about San Javier?
If you're talking to Anna Gloria, she can tell you the real story.
That's what I'm talking to.
But
I wouldn't ask you to do that, John.
Okay, Anna Gloria, give us some quick information about the mission San Javier.
Oh, sure. As you know, Loreto, the first mission built by the Jesuits is here in Loreto. It was in 1697. And the second mission is up in the mountains in the town of San Javier. And that mission is still intact. It's a small village. Only, I think, 30 families live there. And everybody waves at you and greets you, even though if they don't speak English. But they try to help you and offer you what they have, in their kitchens. And the first thing they offer to you when you get to their houses or close by is, would you like a cup of coffee? It's okay, and they're very, very friendly people. And so it's part of what we are losing in the big cities, right, to just wave to each other or to greet. And that's the best part. And definitely when you did the cheese making, is fantastic. Going back to your ancestors or to figure out how they did it, you know, a long time ago, how they start doing the cheese and milking the goats, and that is a fantastic experience. And then close by the kitchen or the stables, well, you have the grapes. And those grapes we have up in the mountains, they're the original grapes brought by the Jesuits to make their own wine for christening, for mass.
Well, for whatever you want to celebrate.
Well, yeah, that's right. I guess they were happy people and
drunk.
They celebrated a lot.
No.
Getting drunk, because that wine is so good and very sweet. So with few sips, everybody gets drunk.
But I have to admit, I did taste that wine. And what's so interesting is that it's the same plants that are 300 years old.
Yes.
You know, where we live in California, anything that's 50 years old is considered old. But the grapes are descendants with the same gene as the original grapes 300 years ago. It's very interesting. And quite a treat. And then, of course, Loreto, there's even more to it than I thought there was. With the islands out in front, you've got a couple of different islands. You've got, Coronado, the natural preserve?
Mm-hmm. Coronado and El Carmen.
And El Carmen. But from what I learned, I was down there with, the second largest national marine park?
No, is it the largest one in Mexico, marine park. Yeah, the one here in Loreto, in front of Loreto. And it's beautiful, right?
Oh, it's fabulous.
That's,
now we know, well, it's
full
because
moon
it's...
that we saw together, you know, when
yes.
we all having dinner at the terrace from the restaurant was to die for.
I know. It was very romantic.
You see, yes, it was very romantic.
But, I won't go there.
But the fishing, the people, the fishing boats, you've got a small, you know, marina out there where you've got different types of boat, mostly pongas. But, you know, just some great fishing close by. Anybody that's interested in going to Loreto, you know, it's been, around and famous for a long time for fishing and for yellowtail. The very first time I went to Mexico was to Loreto, and that was before Ana Gloria was born. But it can be good or it can be very good, and certain times of the year is better. And I think going in the spring was my favorite.
Yeah, I think if spring is it's nice because yellowtail is still in and dorado is coming in, and so you have more variety around April, May, and I mean there's plenty of fish around, but the weather conditions and everything, the month of May and June, April, May and June is they're great for fishing.
Right. Well, I
and
would suggest
fishing, definitely.
It's a small town, but they do have an international airport. So I would suggest someone take a really close look about getting down there, especially you can go down in July and August and September, but when you get down there when it's not quite so hot, that would be the thing. So get on right now, make some reservations, get in touch with me or the Grizz, and Ana Gloria will take good care of you.
Definitely. Give us a call. And there are several tournaments going around in town. There's one at the end of June. That you're welcome to all come over here and spend a great time with us fishing and getting lots of fish.
There you go. Ana Gloria, we're going to have to let you go real quickly, but let's get some contact information for you and for Loreto.
Sure. It's 1-866-482-0247 mm-hmm. or hoteloasis.com, which is our webpage.
Hoteloasis.com. And if you have a problem with that, get in touch with me or the Grizz, and we'll guarantee that we'll fix you up, and you'll think that you're staying with family and friends.
We'll wait for you here, guys.
Okay, Ana, we appreciate that.
Hopefully
we'll be seeing you again real soon. Grizz, you're going to stick around with us for a while, but great time, huh?
Yeah, it sure was, John.
Okay. All right, Grizz. Well, you stay there. And Ana Gloria, again, it's been a pleasure. We hope to see you soon.
Me too.
All right.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Take care.
All right,
Bye.
You guys. We're gonna be
Bye.
Back. Grizz, we're going to be back in just a little bit. And, of course, we're going to have a lot more to talk about. Maybe we'll talk a little bit more about Baja later on in the show if we can. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with the Grizz. And we'll be right back.
Lake Kachuma is a California treasure. Bald eagles, deer, egrets, foxes, wild turkeys play on the banks and in the trees. Red ear, bluegill, bass, and catfish inhabit the waters. Rainbow trout are planted on a regular basis and easily caught from boat or shore. Lake Kachuma Boat Rentals is a key to a successful day on the lake. Call 805-688-4040 for information. Tackle, skiff, or pontoon boat rental. Call Craig at 688-4040. 20 minutes north of Santa Barbara, Kachuma Boat Rentals for a day to remember.
Strike baits catch more fish. Formulated from years of research and development, our dough baits trigger the instincts of fish to strike. Packaged to eliminate air that drives the bait out, the tube means you never have to put your finger in the bait. One squeeze loads your hook with state-of-the-art attractants for even the most elusive trout. Engineered and made in the USA, visit strikebaits.com. Strike baits, the next generation of trout baits.
Bad day fishing is better than a good day at work. Bad day fishing just better than a good day at work.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio, and we also have the Grizz. We've been talking a little bit about what we've been doing for the last 10 days or so down in Loreto, but Grizz is still in our remote studio in the City of Peace, La Paz, Baja California, sir. And right now we have Terrence from one of the, if not, it's got to be one of the original, if not the original, fishing report operations in California. 976 Tuna goes all the way back to, you know, before you could go online to check something out. So you had just gave a call there to find out what was happening. So, Terrence, why don't you go ahead and tell us what is happening in Southern California?
Southern California has waken up beautifully to great conditions out on the ocean, with the exception of a little bit of wind here and there. But overall, we're seeing a tremendous volume of different species, pelagic species, enter into our local waters. Yellowtail flooded in a couple weeks ago. We've had a resurgence in the white sea bass bite at both Catalina Island up and also the Channel Islands area and along the coast down into Dana Point. And just beautiful out on the water as far as that goes. We're all looking for a little bit of some albacore to be caught offshore here shortly to see whether our season is going to be good for albacore-wise. And, you know, it's just a great season altogether. We have the Barracuda here locally today, where the Monte Carlo and the local boats, the Victory, and some of the guys from Newport Dana Wharf area getting in on that bite, all having, you know, 50 to 100 Barracuda. So plenty of action going on in Southern California.
Hey, Terrence, quick question for you. I don't pretend to be an expert angler, and I fortunately had a lot of opportunity. We were just down in Loreto fishing for yellowtail. And what we do is you put a six-ounce weight, drop it down about 150 feet, and hang on tight because they really pull. But give us an idea about the yellowtail up here and how you fish for them.
Yellowtail. One of my most embarrassing moments has been on yellowtail. We were fishing Guadalupe Island, and we were hooking 40 to 65-pound yellowfin tuna, and there was some 20 to 40-pound yellowtail out there. And I had a 60-pound outfit. I threw it out once. Zing pow, I got busted off. Threw it out twice, got bit again. Zing pow. Well, it was a brand-new outfit, and I had the drag button down. I didn't know this at the time. I still didn't know this. I threw it out a third time, and I hooked up. The fish railed me, took me around the stern of the boat, took me up to the bow, and finally when I got the fish up to the deck, I saw it was a 7-pound yellowtail. I was thoroughly embarrassed. I literally tried to shake the thing off of my hook before anybody saw it and what had happened to me. So yes, yellowtail are very ferocious. They do not have to be big to give your tackle a definite workout. You know, obviously I was getting pinned to the rail because my drag was buttoned down completely, and that's what modern fishing equipment will do. They'll give you the advantage. Definitely that fish had the advantage over me at that point. But tactics for our yellowtail out here, they're typically caught on the light irons, the surface lures, We do get a few on the plastics. Live bait is going to be a definite tactic with sardines and anchovy, splishing them with a sliding egg sinker and whatnot to get deeper down into the water column. But that's pretty much it. The jigs and live bait, for the majority, are your go-to tactics.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting because that's what I thought. But when we went down there, you know, it takes us out and Grizz goes, no, we're rock fishing, basically. And that's what we did is we dropped down, hit the rocks, pull it up a little bit. I made the mistake of fishing them a little bit too deep and gave them a chance to run into the rocks and lost a few that way. But it seems like there's a little bit slightly different method than what we're doing up here, Grizz.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was just getting a report in here to the office from the freelance.
No, you know, everybody fishes different styles. Probably their way would work down here just like ours would work up there. It's just a custom of everybody.
Okay. Well, let's go back to California and get off of Yellowtail just for a minute. But, you know, albacore, we haven't seen too many of those in the last few years, especially as you go farther up the coastline. And they're always a lot of fun to catch. And when they're in, they're really in it. You can just, you know, just get in. If you get into a frenzy of them, you're gonna be really busy for a while. But give us a little bit of an idea what else is going on there. Oh.
I don't know. Is that the music to take us out?
Yeah, no.
I hear music
no.
in the background.
I don't know what it is, but it's pretty weird.
Well, my staff.
John, are you playing the spoons again?
I'm not gonna tell you what it was. I'm embarrassed.
Well, you should be.
Okay. Anyway,
I'm
Terrence,
your cell phone, and I'll call you out on that, and then I'll take you into the sandbass fight.
We have not had
conditions are changing dramatically in Southern California. We have not had a lot of biting sandbass the past few years. Last year, they really spawned up in the mud. There was a huge volume. We couldn't really get them to bite. This year looks completely different. There's a ton of anchovy in our water. Talked to Chuck Tapp. He was fishing offshore. 65-plus miles out to the west from San Diego, he, every two boat lengths, saw a big jag of bait, whether it would be anchovy or sardine. And realistically, we really haven't had any anchovy in our water the last 10, 15 years. So you talk to the old-school guys, they say it's a 10, 15-year cycle. Maybe we're going back into the cooler water bait fish cycle where we get the anchovy. We have seen some red crab out at San Clemente Island coming out of the rockfish and whatnot. With all that bait, you'd have to think that we're going to get some albacore, especially with conditions changing. We're looking at all those conditions change as they change.
Well, you know, like you're saying, the conditions are changing. Down here in Cabo and La Paz, I'm seeing more bait fish this year than I've ever seen. Last year, it was hard work to get into a good bait ball. But I'm seeing them everywhere this year down here. And I'm seeing more marlin than I've seen. And then the giant yellowtail. I mean, things are definitely changing. I really don't understand it all.
No, it's beyond our comprehension. The deep water cycle of the Pacific Ocean is 1,000 years.
Yep. Well, like there are cycles that, you know, that go up, you know, centuries, hundreds of years, and, you know, in every couple of years. And, you know, it's when all those cycles come together that they haven't been able to predict. But, Terrence, give us some information about 976 Tuna so that people can find out where to go.
We've been in business since 1985, like you mentioned earlier. Started off as a telephone service. Now we're primarily an internet service. We primarily serve Southern California from the Channel Islands down all the way down to Cabo San Lucas with fish reports. So if you need to get a hold of us, just check us online at 976tuna.com.
Okay. And the great thing about Terrence is that, he's been doing this for a while. I don't even want to ask you how long you've been doing it, but it's been a while. And if there's anything that anybody wants to know, you cover a lot of salt water, but anything that's happening in the area, I'm sure you can help them out with.
Oh yeah, we have another service called 976 Fresh that just serves freshwater fishing reports from the northern Sierras all the way down to San Diego and all the way out to Arizona. So if you want to know what's going on freshwater-wise, you can always check out 976fresh.com, and you can get the latest reports as far as that goes, too.
Well, you know, while we have you on the phone, let's go ahead and see if you can help us out with what's happening in the freshwater. I know, I cut you on the spot, but yeah.
You know, locally down here in Orange County, L.A. Orange County, and then down into San Diego, the lower elevation waters are starting to get warmer. Bass are starting to spawn up. The bass bite has been pretty substantially good. Get up on spawning beds and whatnot. These guys are doing very good during the day. A lot of the local lakes have gone through.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of the local lakes have gone through their bluegill spawns, and guys just put the wood to them. Paris had a really good bite. Elsinore had a really good bite. So we're kind of in the transition area on the lower elevations where we're going. We've switched over from trout and going back into bass and catfish
water,
and whatnot. And the catfishing has been great at the local plant lakes down here. Up in the higher elevations, we're still getting trout plants. Up in the northern Sierras and the Sierras, it's been excellent trout fishing for the guys that have been willing to put in the effort and hike away from the more trafficking locations to their, you know, unmolested spots. And they're finding great results, you know, browns, rainbows, just really good fishing up there overall.
Okay. Well, of course, the main thing is you know, you got to get on there. And, of course, you know, one of the nice things about freshwater fishing is that all you need is a rod and reel. I mean, it's great if you have a boat and can fish the lakes, but if you can just throw some gear in the car and take off.
Absolutely. You know, 99% of this fishing is done from the shore, and you do not need a boat. If you have a float tube and stuff, you can kind of get away from everybody else and go to different areas and whatnot. But, you know, that's being said, if you're at a lake, if you're, you know, fishing the Owens and stuff like that, you're walking it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if anybody, again, wants to get in touch with Terrence, 976tuna.com, is that correct?
Yep, 976tuna.com. You can get our freshwater reports. You can get hunting reports.
Okay.
And all the saltwater reports you could ever want.
Great job. Hey, Grizz, let's go fishing. Sounds good. We're going to get you up here one of these days. Terrence, thanks for taking the time. I know you got a lot of calls coming in. We'll let you go.
Thanks.
All righty. Grizz, we're going to see if we can get in touch with Paul Strasser on the Independence, the long-range boat out of San Diego. And we'll do that in just a second after we take a break. And that's coming up pretty quick. But we have make sure that if anybody that you have heard something and you didn't write it down, just go to our website and you can listen to the shows over and over and over and over. Grizz, stay tuned. We're going to be back with you in a couple minutes, and I'm sure we can find something to talk about. So we'll be right back with you with Fish Talk Radio.
West Marine covers Southern California with convenient locations for all your boating and fishing needs. The new superstore on Shelter Island in San Diego, nearly a block in length, has West Marine's largest saltwater fishing selection on the West Coast. This is the world's largest marine store, located one block from Shelter Island Drive at 1250 Rosecrans. Not only stocked to the gills, the staff has selected fishing experts in what to buy, plus how and where to use it. For boating, fishing, and water sports, this is the ultimate. West Marine.
Set on the magnificent Sea of Cortez, the Grand Heritage Resort and Spa at Marina Costa Baja is the first five-star resort in La Paz, Baja South. Overlooking a 250-slip marina and white sand beaches, enjoy two signature restaurants, a world-class destination for fishing or diving. Enjoy five-star elegance in the charming laid-back city of La Paz. Dock your boat and enjoy the Marina Village. Visit on the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
Goldfish, muskie, rainbow, brook trout, brown trout, steelhead, catfish, dogfish, wolffish, bullhead, halibut, hake, permit, cobia, pickerel, skate, sturgeon, landlocked, triggerfish, stingray, rock.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. We still have the Grizz on the line with us from La Paz. We've been talking off air. He's going to be busy off air. He's going to be busy for the next week fishing. But right now, we have Paul Strasser, one of the captains of the industry in the long-range sport fishing fleet out of San Diego. And Paul operates the Independence. And, Paul, why don't you give us a quick rundown on what's been happening this year and what you got coming up?
Well, I'd like to thank all your listeners for listening. And up here, we are I have the Independence. It's a long-range boat, but I want to talk and hit about the subject of the short areas, which is anywhere from 5 days and closer. Right now, we have an upwelling of warm water that's hitting the coast of Baja and California right now that's really we're starting to see a good sign right now. The water temperatures are anywhere from 66 to 68 degrees. We're starting to see a lot of yellowtail here hit Catalina Island. Last week, we had unbelievable yellowtail fish, and anywhere from 30 to 60 yellowtail per boat per day. And that a lot of this has to do with this warm water. San Clemente Island, same thing. We're starting to see more yellowtail at San Clemente. The Coronado Islands, which are right off of San Diego, basically it's in Mexican waters, we're starting to see a lot of yellowtail. And then some of the boats that are offshore fishing looking for the tuna are starting to see a lot of nice grade of yellowtail under the kelp patties. This is something we see every time this warm water first comes in the first week of last week of May, first week of June. This normally happens. It hasn't happened in the last 2-3 months, mm-hmm. I mean 2-3 years, but it's happening right now. And so I have a good feeling that this year is going to be a great offshore year for yellowtail, bluefin tuna. We haven't seen an albacore yet, but we're waiting on that. And then I think the yellowfin are going to be right behind them here mid-August.
That sounds exciting. I just got back fishing with Grizz down in Loreto in La Paz. And in Loreto, the yellowtail down there were big and plentiful. And you did mention albacore. We haven't seen too much of those in the last couple of years, but they're a lot of fun if they happen to come in this far. Do you have any predictions?
Well, you know, it's really hard to predict the albacore. The albacore, being that they're fish from they travel from Japan to the U.S. coast, it's a hard fish to predict. But I'm feeling it's going to be interesting. If we do see the albacore, it's going to happen here in the next 2 weeks to maybe middle of July. But our water is starting to get warm real fast. I like to see that 66 degree to 68 degree water for this albacore. Albacore is a cooler water fish. The bluefin is a cooler water fish. The yellowfin is a warmer water fish. So if we're going to see bluefin and albacore, it's going to be probably the end of June and July. Mm-hmm. And if this water doesn't get any warmer, we're going to see some good fish because the water is already at the temperature we like to see it at.
Great. Now, when you talk about short trips, the long-range boats out of San Diego, they go out for as long as, 2 weeks or 18 days.
Yep.
So for you, a short trip is 5 days. For me, that seems like a long time. But
yeah.
They of course, when the albacore and those come up, you don't really have to do that. You can go out. Of course, you do have the range and the ability to go whatever you want to do, don't you?
Yeah. See, on our boat, a short trip being 5 or 6 days is beautiful because what we end up doing, we leave in the morning. The next day, we're in the grounds. We fish a full day offshore for bluefin albacore. We could fish even a second day on that for that bluefin albacore. And then we go to an island like Cedros, and we kill a lot of those yellowtail, good yellowtail fishing. And then on the way back, we hit the albacore bluefin again. That's what we do on a 5 or 6 day trip. Now, a perfect just offshore only would be a 3 day trip. There's no destination involved. There's no islands involved, but you are offshore the whole trip. And normally that's a great trip when those albacore are running and the bluefin are running because you really don't need to go to an island. But on our trips, we mainly always have a destination just in case. Remember, we book our trips a year in advance. And if there was a cold water year, we'd like to be able to have a destination like an island to go to catch the yellowtail if the offshore fishing was not biting. But, boy, if these fish show up like I think they're going to show, you're not going to really need to go for any longer than a three-day trip, even though my boat has no three-day trips involved. It's all 6 and 8 day trips.
Right. Well, one of the great things about you have the ability to go, hundreds of miles south of Cabo San Lucas if you want to. But when you're out, it's basically you've got a floating resort that you're out on the water, and you may not even know where you're going to go until after you get out there. You just go look for them. And of course, with the communication electronics you have, you can find them.
Oh yeah, we're in a group of 9 other long range boats, and we are really honest about what we tell each other on this particular group that we're involved with. So, depends on how many days, where our destination we're thinking about going. We check with our other boats that there might be a boat there you know, our boat that just left the area. So we keep in really good contact so we don't drive all over the ocean looking for nothing. And most 99% of the time, we're usually traveling where the fish are biting.
Great.
And, you know, this time of year, we're not going the long trips because the long trips are basically until near the end of the year, November, December, January, February, March, and April. We do the two-week trips.
Okay.
But right now, we're just concentrating on the six, seven, and eight-day trips.
Well,
now,
Paul, a lot of people do book a year in advance, but do you have availabilities on some of the shorter trips coming up pretty quick?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
IndependenceSportsFishing.com. Yep. IndependenceSportsFishing.com, and right there on our website, you could actually book on website, but you can see the trips that we do have, and we do have openings. We just opened up we have some trips right in the middle of July and August, you know, 6 days,
wow,
7 day trips, 2 or 3, 4 people opening on each trip, you know.
Perfect. Okay, Paul, we appreciate that. And again, if you didn't get all that information, you can always go to online and listen to us and listen to Paul again. But that website again is IndependenceSportsFishing, right?
.com. Yes, sir.
Okay, great job. Thank you so much, Paul. We appreciate having you on.
Okay, thank you.
All righty. Hey, Grizz, we're going to do something a little bit different right now. We're going to be talking to, I believe that we have, let's try that one more time. Okay. Anyway, Grizz, you still there? We're going to... Okay. All righty. Let me see who we got right now. Grizz, you still there?
Yeah, I sure am, John.
Okay. And do we have Semi, I think, on line three, right? Semi?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm here.
Hey, sorry about that. It's a little bit of a glitch. But we got you. And why don't you give us a quick idea of about what it is that you guys got going with something called the Top Hooker. I'm sure that the Grizz, who also has a fishing show on the Travel Network called Adventure South of the Border, and you guys have got some fishing stuff going on. And is it Animal Planet? Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
Animal Planet. In fact, season one premieres this Sunday, June 2nd, I think 10 p.m., so you guys can get a taste of it then.
Okay. Well, give us a quick idea what that's all about.
Well, Top Hooker, which is probably the greatest title in competition reality show history, is a competition show for fishermen and women. And right now we're casting season two of the show, but it's structured like you would see any other competition show similar to Survivor. We've got 10 people on the show from all walks of life, and they face a different extreme fishing challenge in every episode. And in every episode, someone is eliminated. The last person standing at the end wins the grand prize.
Well,
I think season one of the show, the grand prize was $30,000 plus a little something extra, which will be a surprise for the audience at the end of the show.
Great.
For season two, it's probably going to be similar.
Okay. Now, so what it is, it's a competition between, you start off with, would you say 30 people?
10 people.
And then you obviously skills involved, because these people, to win, they actually have to, it's not some stupid game thing where they jump across beach balls or something. They're actually fishing, and the winners is determined by their ability, right?
Yes, they're actually fishing, but I'll tell you what, because we're calling it an extreme fishing competition, we're going to throw in a few twists. So while
okay,
you do have to be really skilled, we can't just pull any old person off the street to do this. We're going to throw in a few other things, too, like there's a zip lining. You know, let's say we have a netting competition.
Oh, okay.
We may send you down a zip line, and you're going to have to focus your hand-eye coordination to net the appropriate fish in the pen.
Oh.
Now, that's completely out of the park. But on top of that, we're probably going to feature bow fishing. We're going to feature fly fishing. We're going to feature spear fishing, rod and reel, surf casting. So real skills are at play here. And
mm-hmm,
we're looking for people who, you don't have to be professional to be on this show. I think it's great if I can get a professional bass fisherman. But I'm also looking for recreational folks who are like, you know, I can beat the pros because I have a diverse background. Or, more importantly, you're confident enough to say, whatever you throw at me, I can do it.
Okay.
I can pick it up easily. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure the Grizz has kind of got a... wondering a little bit what it's about, but you know, his program is a little bit different than that. You know, it sounds like it'd be a lot of fun.
It is. It's a lot of fun, and you know, you can look up promos online right now, and you can see our current cast and how much fun those guys have.
Mm-hmm.
To apply for the show, you need to have a really adventurous spirit.
So, if someone wants to come on, that's what they would do, is just contact you to apply.
Yeah, so we're casting season two right now, and the easiest way to apply is you can go to our website. My company is called Pilgrim Studios. We're the same production company that does The Ultimate Fighter, Top Shot, Dirty Jobs, and Ghost Hunters. Okay. And you can click on casting, and there's all that information about applying for Top Hooker. But the easiest way, just email us,
okay.
tophookercasting@gmail.com, and you can tell us your name, send us a photo, your phone number, and a brief description of why you think you're America's next top hooker.
Well, Grizz, I would suspect you and Charlie would be able to handle that.
Yeah, sounds like a lot of fun, John, but, you know, I just don't have a lot of time anymore.
Yeah, I know.
That
does sound like fun. Well, Grizz has a program himself that he does on the Travel Channel. That's all about fishing. But we thought what you guys are doing would be kind of fun to check out. And it's, you know, there's so much of this stuff on television right now that would be fun to get something that's that's a little bit more real. So real quickly then, we're going to have to let you go, Kevin. But give us a quick information on how to get in touch with you.
For casting the show?
Yeah. No. Just to get in touch with you. 10 seconds. Okay. Well, what we're looking at is the Top Hooker. Kevin, we appreciate you coming on. If anybody wants to know more about it, just go back to the website and we'll hook you up. Thank you, Kevin.